Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
The anti-obesity drug Saxenda became available to public patients on the 1st of January and more than 2,600 people have applied for it. But over half of those applications have been refused because of the strict criteria. Now, the drugs cost €250 a month. The state will only pay for it if the patient has a body mass index of 35 or over, pre-diabetes and evidence of cardiovascular disease, and the treatment will be stopped if the patient doesn't lose more than 5% of their body weight after 12 weeks. But as the obesity time bomb threatens to engulf our health system, why is the criteria so strict for access to these drugs? Well, here to explain is Professor Michael Barry, Director of the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, let's start with a little bit of an explainer about what we're talking about here, because weight loss drugs have been around for a very long time. So what makes these drugs we're talking about today different?
Yes, you're right. And it's fair to say that weight loss drugs have had somewhat of a checkered history in the past. And we've had the agents, for example, like amphetamines for weight loss, rimonabant. And unfortunately, these have been associated with adverse effects. For example, with amphetamines, cardiovascular adverse effects. Rimonabant, we've had psychiatric side effects, including suicidal ideation. And then on the other hand, we've had other agents like orlistat, which while it does reduce weight, it is modest, to be fair, and about 1.1 kilograms over 16 weeks. So I think the big change here is that you have new agents, the GLP-1 agents, as they're called, the semaglutides and liraglutides of this world, and they're relatively safe. Well tolerated, but they certainly do reduce weight to a far greater extent. So, you, for example, with Saxenda, you can get weight loss of up to, 6 kilograms over a year. With Wegovy, which is semaglutide, you can get weight loss of up to 12 kilograms. That's 2 stones. So these are more effective and they are much safer.
Mm-hmm. So why are you making it so hard for people to get them?
Well, there's a budgetary issue, unfortunately, here, and essentially what the Medicines Management Program Managed Access Protocol is attempting to do is to ensure that those patients at the highest risk get access to the drug. I should say that we're not the only ones that will be struggling with the financial aspects here. It's a lot of debate in the United States in relation to this and how many people should be covered. In Canada, the Canadian Drug and Health Technology Agency recommended against public reimbursement for these drugs. So it is a challenge, and mm-hmm. and you have a lot of patients and a relatively high cost drug. And so what happened in this case is the HSE recommended reimbursement on 2 conditions. One, that we'd get a reduction in the price, which we did. And 2, that it would be confined to this group of patients, which is a subset of the licensed population. Now, I should say one other thing, that the manufacturer, Novo Nordisk, only applied for reimbursement for this subgroup. So it wasn't as if the HSE was narrowing down the yeah. patient population. The company did that themselves.
I mentioned, though, that the obesity time bomb and the cost to our health service of people who have obesity. So if this is a weight reduction drug that is well tolerated yeah. and is working, could it not solve a lot of problems for us?
There's no question. It could indeed, and we know the association, obesity associated with diabetes, cardiovascular disease, sleep apnea, cancers like breast cancer, colorectal cancer, etc. And I could go on and on. You're absolutely right. It's a balance between the cost and the health outcomes, the value. It should be stated actually that, the part of the debate is we know we can expect these health outcomes, but they're not being proven yet. But having said that, I do expect that these weight loss drugs will have a significant impact. It really comes down to affordability here. Mm-hmm. And can we afford it? For example, in the States, an interesting article in the New England Journal just a month ago was, if they covered everybody with Wegovy who could potentially benefit from it, then they'd use up the entire budget for Medicare. So, I mean, that tells you, and we're already paying a lot of money for these drugs because, of course, they're available for diabetes. And we're spending over, if you look at it over an annual period, you're talking about over €55 million on these drugs.
And do you,
that'll increase significantly.
Can you see the demand coming through the public system for this drugs? So what's going on?
No doubt about it, Claire, that there's huge demand for this, and certainly more than we've ever expected. In the first 3 months, we've had 2,600 applications, as you said there. We never expected that number. We thought it would be in the hundreds. But, you know, it's really time-consuming because you have to go through each application and its own merits. And we, at the Medicines Management Programme, we have 4 staff full-time on this at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So what are they doing? They're looking at all of the applications that come in individually to assess them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And my concern here is, if we have this much interest in Saxenda, what will it likely be for Wegovy? Because remember, Saxenda is administered every day. Wegovy is once a week. And the weight loss with Wegovy is literally twice that of Saxenda. So if we're seeing this with Saxenda, then I anticipate we'll see an awful lot more interest with Wegovy.
Mm-hmm. So how much has been budgeted for these types of drugs?
Yeah, the estimate, the budget estimate would be 10 million over 5 years. And that's just not going to be the case. It's going to far exceed that. It'll certainly exceed it within 2 years. It may even do so this year if the numbers keep going. So that gives you an indication of the real interest in these weight loss drugs.
And if you see results coming back whereby the health service is saving on treatments for obesity-related conditions,
yeah,
do you make a recommendation to government about expanding that budget and eligibility? Is that how it works?
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, these managed access programs, and we have them for various drugs, usually high-cost drugs and high-budget impact areas, and there are about 25 of them already, and they're growing every time. What we do is we assess how things are progressing. We may indeed widen the criteria should that be appropriate at the time. So I suppose what I'm saying is here, there's flexibility within the system, but at the moment we have the current access programme as outlined on the HSE website.
So talk to me about that, about the access to Saxenda. Very strict criteria, Michael.
Yes, it's if you look at the licence, what is Saxenda licensed for? It's in addition to reduced calorie intake and physical activity, it's licensed for weight management in adults with a BMI over 30. Now, it is also licensed in adults for BMIs between 27 and 30 if they have other conditions like high cholesterol or hypertension. Now, the current criteria as it stands is that the applicant, the patient, will need to have a BMI of 35 or more. They will have to have pre-diabetes, and they will have to have one or other of high cholesterol or high blood pressure. So that, in other words, to try and highlight the cardiovascular risk here.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a subgroup of patients. That's absolutely right.
Very tough on people who might have a BMI greater than 35, but don't fit the criteria on other grounds, who desperately want to use this drug.
Yeah, I completely get that. And yes, it can be for, and we've seen applications like that for people with a BMI of 40, but, you know, they haven't met the other criteria. But I suppose all we can do in the Medicines Management Programme is to implement the managed access protocol that was agreed by the HSE. I think, to be fair, you may well see a change in the criteria over time, as we mentioned. But at the moment, yes, it is. It is a challenge. And we're about 50% of applications are successful, which means, of course, that about 50% are not.
Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen when, as you say, these other drugs come down the line, which may show even greater weight loss outcomes?
Well, the first one will be Wegovy. I think we don't know. We don't have a price for that at the moment. In the US, it's $13,000 roughly, which is, you know, give or take 12,000 euro. I expect the price here would be far less than that. And then we have other drugs coming on behind that. One, tirzepatide, again, once weekly. But this is showing remarkable weight loss. For example, depends on the dose, of course, but between 5 and 15 milligrams, you're seeing weight reductions of 16 to up to 23 kilograms. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, remarkable, to be fair.
And
big challenges.
And how long do people need to stay on these drugs? Are these lifelong medications?
Well, this is it. It may well be lifelong. At the moment, we will be reviewing it, obviously, after the first 6 months to see that they get the initial weight reduction. And then for 2 years, but the point being here is that many would see these as long-term medications, yes.
And
with the associated budget impact.
That other listed criteria, if your weight hasn't reduced by 5% in 12 weeks,
yeah,
they come off it. Why are some people not losing weight?
That's very difficult to say, Claire. These are complex medications. Sometimes it can be as simple as compliance. Other times it can be at the mechanistic level where the drug is not doing what we'd expect it to do. So there are a whole host of reasons, but we're not entirely sure why if somebody was taking it regularly that it doesn't. But we do get natural variability in the response to drugs anyway, across all therapies.
I don't know how much you can tell us about how the drug works and whether people need to have fairly extensive lifestyle changes alongside taking something like Saxenda in order for it to work.
Yes, I think always, weight management advice and guidance is certainly important, and even the licensed indication will suggest that reduced calorie diet and increased physical activity would go hand in hand with the use of these medications rather than just simply resorting to medication per se. In relation to its actions, these drugs regulate appetite and increase the feeling of fullness, and they'll reduce food intake and thereby reducing weight. But you're right, it should go hand in hand with weight management program rather than just resorting to the drug on its own.
Mm-hmm. I see a listener here saying if Saxenda was more generally allowed for obesity, the need for diabetes treatment would surely be reduced over time, and that must be something that you're going to have to weigh up as we go along.
Oh, that's a very important point, Claire, in the sense that we spend a lot of money on diabetes. The 2021 report suggests between medications and diagnostics and so on and so forth, we spend $230 million in a year. I suspect it's over $250 million now. So you're absolutely right. There are costs on the drug side, but there are also potential cost offsets on the other side. And that is going to be really a challenge for us to identify the onsets and the offsets. And I suspect we get a better insight into that when Wegovy arrives, and we'll likely do a cost-effectiveness analysis of Wegovy, and that will give us certainly more information in relation to that.
So we mightn't have the same strict criteria for access to that medication, to Wegovy, when it comes?
That's difficult to say, Claire, because it depends on the results of the cost-effectiveness analysis. My own suspicion is that we probably will have some conditions around it and a managed access protocol. I don't envisage it being made available to all who would benefit from it, in the sense that the budget impact would be just enormous. I foresee that we will be spending up to over 100 million euro on these drugs in a short space of time.
In a year?
Yeah, for diabetes and for weight loss. We're at 55 million at the moment. That will increase significantly, particularly if we keep seeing the figures that we've seen in the first 3 months of this year.
The figures, you mean the applications or the results? The applications. How much does it cost then to keep somebody on Saxenda with the figures currently as they stand for 1 year?
Yeah, it's between 1,000 and 2,000 euro a year. I do have an exact price, but if I gave it to you, I'd probably be sued.
Okay, that's all right. So between 1,000 and 2,000. And
yeah.
At the moment, people who go on this drug, they will be left on it for how long if they have the results as you would expect?
Yeah, 2 years initially. And obviously at that time we would review it. I have to emphasise, this is a dynamic situation, and we would you know, we will learn as time progresses, and we get more information as well in relation to these drugs, and in addition to the safety aspects as well.
And people who are dealing with obesity, they're facing huge stigma. We know that already. And for medical card patients, they just might find it more difficult to get those obesity drugs funded by the state. It's a very difficult situation for people who have lived with the problems brought on by having obesity in the first place and the stigma then that goes with it, and then not being able to get access to a treatment that they know would probably work.
Yes, that is the challenge here, Claire. But of course, we've spoken many times before on other drugs where there have been challenges in relation to access. And again, it boils down to having a finite healthcare budget, and you try and do the best you can for everyone with the resources you have. And unfortunately, that does mean on occasion that not all people who would potentially benefit from a drug therapy actually get access to it.
All right. Well, it's a fascinating conversation, and we watch with interest to see what happens next. Professor Michael Barry, thank you for joining us on the programme. And Michael is Director of the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics. I see our colleague in the newsroom, Samantha Libreri, reporting that the impanelling of the jury for the biggest inquest in the history of the state is getting underway in Dublin right now. You might have heard that the Stardust Inquest will officially begin next Tuesday in the Pillar Room at the Rotunda. But today there are 3,000 people who have been asked to come to Croke Park, where a jury of 15 for the inquest will be selected. That inquest is expected to take at least 6 months, and the Dublin City Coroner has begun explaining to the people who have come about the process of selecting the jury and about the categories of people who are not eligible or who are disqualified from serving. They've also been given a list of 350 witnesses, experts, companies that are being called to give evidence, and the names of the victims of the Stardust fire and their family members, just to make sure that those potential jury members don't know the individuals involved. That's from Samantha Libreri. Coming up next, identities for sale on the dark web.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.